Thank you for everyone. Hi, Pete, for joining us on Project Canary tonight in our Twitter space. So let's break down what we want to discuss tonight.
Okay, so let's start with, I'm going to call it the fit and happy chunk. That's what we're going to start with. And the way I will broadly sort of describe this, this is just the overview, people. I will get to the details after. So there was a paper that was put out. Let me find the original paper. Again, I have like 17 tabs open because I've been raging all day about this. So I am like ready to fucking go right now. Okay. So a paper from the journal Immunity that came out on April 11th, 2023, volume 56, issue 4. This paper is by Marios Koutsakas. I'm really sorry if I butchered that. And colleagues, there's like 27 colleagues there, which is funny because that's almost as many participants as they had in the study. Boom, boom. Sorry.
I thought it was more than the participants.
It looks like it's more. But anyway, the sample size I will get to. That's fine. The article is called SARS-CoV Breakthrough Infection Induces Rapid Memory and De Novo T-Cell Responses. So this is the paper that is leading to the shit clusterfuck that I'm about to describe. So this paper that came out in April was looking at sort of the recall of the CD4 plus and CD8 spike specific T cells. So they were sort of looking at an overview of this, whatever. I'm actually...
Slow down for a second.
Sorry.
Slow down. I'm like... It's okay. I know, you're like ready to go. I need to break it down. Can we put the research article in the nest first?
Yes, hold on. Okay, let me get this one.
So people can read along and see what we're talking about. So this is, just to clarify, we're talking about the research article that was just released that tries to discredit Dr. Leonardi's.
No,
this is about the CD8, CD4 cells, which are the T cells that get destroyed.
There you go.
Those are the T cells that get destroyed by SARS.
So reason that this is confusing is because the way they're talking about it, and this is exactly why I want to talk about this, is that, hold on, I'm trying to figure out... Can someone send me a message, maybe Cindy, if you're available, of this, like a tweet with the study in it? I have like 17 things open right now. So this study was just looking at sort of the memory of those T cell responses. So we then have a new paper that just came out that was by not these people, but by... Mark Veldhoen, who currently has me blocked, probably because I'm talking about this right now, and Antonio Bertoletti.
Yeah. Oh, the flu researchers wanting to spout on about SARS-CoV-2. Wonderful.
Yes. So those people. So I want to start by reading a tweet by Anthony Leonardi, who we've talked about on this podcast before, because the reason that this whole disaster started is because, well, they sort of tried to like summarize those results. I don't know, it's called a research highlight, but it's a really doesn't look like a proper paper. And the title of it referenced sort of AJ's Twitter name, and they said that the T cells are fit and happy after sort of clearance. And then so all this stuff came after that. But this article, again, is really just like highlighting the April paper, sort of, except they have this really strange crayon looking graph that has like no axes on it. And there's no numbers of days of what they're looking at. So I don't even know how this thing got published, first of all. But then on top of that, we had Zeynep, you know, Zeynep, that shit disturber. She's got like 400,000 followers. She jumped on this band train. Whew, yeah, there's my brain. It's spinning right now with anger. Jumped on this calling Anthony's information, Looney, which of course, you know, all the shit that that brings. But I want to read a few responses to this paper, both by Anthony and by another individual, in terms of Anthony's response to this paper was, I don't see a problem with it. It follows that lack of clearance is associated with unfit and unhappy T cells, and SARS-CoV infection can cause unfit and unhappy T cells. They should have mentioned that. So that's like starting to dig into a little bit of what the issue is with the generalizations they're making. And this is sort of why I jumped into this fight, is that I certainly am not an immunologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not studying CD cells, T cells, whatever. But I sure as fuck know a lot about research methodology and statistics, and did a lot of teaching at my university at UBC of other people of these sorts of topics. And I can tell you without a doubt that like 90% of academics out there don't fucking know how to actually do stats, don't understand their own stats, and pick the wrong stats half of the time. That's just the stats part. But then there's generalization of the research. So when I say generalization, Mel, what do you sort of think of?
That they're basically surface scraping a broad generalization of whatever topic they're trying to research without an in-depth understanding of the topic.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's that. And then if I'm thinking about specifically research methodology, generalization is about the ability to actually extend the issues that you're looking at in the study to more of the general population, right? So if you have a really representative sample that's sort of addressing all the issues and addresses the limitations, that's great. You can say that that's a really generalizable study. If you have a study that has a very small sample, doesn't actually tell you anything about the sample, and just is like not representing a large portion of what you're talking about, it's not really that useful, right? So these are some of the issues that are coming up with the use of this paper that they're talking about specifically. These are my research sort of concerns. Then there is the fucking academic bullshit concerns that's going on with Anthony, right? So I'm going to read this tweet by Anthony that's about addressing sort of some of the things that have come up, which is, all throughout medical school, I have faced Mark Veldhuyn and Bert Toletti calling me things from depressed to grifter and mocking me for stating that SARS-CoV-2 infection can cause T-cell harm. Here, Zeynep acknowledges the article is pointed at my loony theories. The journal is now holding a quote-unquote investigation, as we know that probably won't mean very much. Veldhuyn went private. Oh, I don't know if he's still private, but he blocked me, so I can't see him anyway. But these essentially, the title of the article, the way that it's being used right now, is trying to like demean and go towards Anthony's discussion about the T-cell harm that can occur. But the paper didn't actually have anything to do with it. Like, it doesn't even actually discuss or have a sample that can address that question. And Dr. Bari actually made a tweet about this too. So her statement was, I can't believe how immature the title is. The paper is actually interesting, which I agree, but does not address the T-cell problem as a whole. Only looks at a tiny subgroup with specific focus on COVID-9 immunity, not immunity as a whole to other pathogens and cancers, which is something we've been talking about. The part I find interesting has been proven in other ways before. That is the timing of T-cell response that is crucial for protection. Early and powerful is needed, which needs interference to kick it off. And we know that SC2 has mechanisms to slow this down. So my point in all of this rage is that this is exactly how academia shadiness works. This is the absence of ethics and appropriate knowledge translation that comes with these fucking assholes who are putting their egos before the actual science, because the whole point of science is acknowledging your fucking limitations, because none of our data or studies are going to be able to prove a specific thing. That's why I put systematic reviews and meta-analyses on my site all the time, is because that's an accumulation of the data across all the different types of participants. And then you can talk about the limitations of those different groups of participants. Okay, I'm going to take a breath and let Cindy talk now.
Oh, preach. I am here for this. You preach. I am here for all of it. I put the study. I finally found it. I popped it up in the Nest. If you click on that link, you can go right to the study. It's more of a commentary, but it's absolute trash.
There's not even axes, Cindy. How did that get published? How did it get published? No reviewer thought to be like, well, how many days are on that graph?
We have no numbers. What the fuck is this?
It looks like they literally just drew the graph to make it look like something. And then that's it. Like, who approved this study? What university is attached to this study? And, like, how did it get funded? Like, so the university is just like, okay, guys, your ego's bruised, so I'm just going to let you write a shitpost journal article and totally make fun of one person's work, and then you can publish it.
And it doesn't even deal with his work, and that's the thing. And I wanna quickly outline the participant data, because that's not mentioned at all in either of the studies. They put it into a supplementary table that has to be accessed through, like, an extra link in the OG study, which always makes me like, you couldn't just describe your participants in the actual methods, because that's helpful. But even the data we have is limited. I've requested the original data set from Koutsakos so that I can look at the actual participant information that they have. But let's break down. They have three subgroups, and in total, they had 23 participants. 23. Okay? So let me break that down. So they had 6 people who were infected with Delta. 6. Okay. These people were age 29, 30, 31, 29, 31, and one of them was 50. All had received 2 doses of vaccine. Okay. The last vaccine to symptom onset, one didn't have the data. And then most of them in this group were about 140 days, about on average. Okay. So, can anyone identify? I see Cindy laughing. Cindy, tell me, what problem do you see in those 6 participants? Let's just even leave the sample size alone of a sample size of 6, which making decisions about our T cell responses with a sample of 6 from Delta is pretty fucking interesting. But what else did I describe there that might pose a problem?
How much time do you have? Oh my God. 1, they're all relatively young. 2, the duration they measured is extremely short. 3, I have no information about vaccination status, you know. And 4, you know, what were their T cell? Where was the baseline?
Correct. You know? So no T cell baseline. We don't even know what vaccines they received, when they received them, in terms of just the last vaccine to symptoms. So that's just the Delta group. So let me go to the next one that comprises the tiny sample. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They have 7 that were infected with BA1. 7. Ooh, we grew a little, my friends. So let's go over the ages of these ones. 27, 23, 24, 34, 35. Oh, look at this. 60, 36. Okay.
That's a fucking bingo.
Yeah, so look at all those young people. And then let's look at the last vaccine to symptom onset in this group. Looks a little different. 39 days, 33, 84, 83, 90, 39, 111. Okay. So that's the second subgroup they have. So let's go to the last and the largest, if we want to call it that, which is 10 people. Ooh, 10 people. Okay, so this one is where it gets interesting. 63, 50, 55, 40, 43, 66, 57, 62, 55, 58. So for some reason, they have 2 groups that are super young and 1 group that is on average twice the age of the other ones, which is, I don't know, bad sampling. But again, all these individuals had 3 doses of vaccine. We have no idea what the vaccines were. We don't know when the dosing was between those. We don't have any information on pre-existing history. We don't know what their race is. Like, what if these are all white people?
Did they seroconvert? How many prior infections?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know what country are they in. Like, do they have access to universal healthcare. Like, I
this
mean,
this is the only information I have on the cohort demographics is what is I just laid what? Out to you. There's also the class one alleles relevant to this study and class two alleles. That is all that we have from the participants. So we have 23 people, a huge chunk of them, like 30 or close to, like between 20 and 30. No actual information about vaccine status and no real long-term follow-up with regards to anything that Anthony has talked about. So I'm really fucking interested that Veldhuyn and Bertoletti are using this to fucking harass him. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, they just had to hitch their wagon to anything that had any sort, anything contrary to what Anthony was saying.
And they couldn't even do it well.
It's just a big joke. And, you know, this journal is a flagship journal for the Australian Society for Immunologists, right? And I was trying to see if any of the authors were associated with that institution. But there was nothing obvious when I was looking, and then I had to do something else. So I got sidetracked and didn't finish looking for that. But I would not be surprised.
And I like to sort of put some context around this too. And I did when the study came out, is like the fact that people think that for some reason, just because it's a peer reviewed journal, that shit ain't going to get through. I mean, any of us in academia knows that there is fucking games to be played with academic journals. Like, it depends on what the value system is of the editors. Like, it depends on how many statisticians they have on board. Let me give an example. So I do a ton of sort of advanced survey methodology stuff and latent profile class analysis, like trying to use data sets to find underlying patterns. When one of my honors students, maybe like 5-7 years ago, did like a really extensive survey into polyamory when it was sort of not a lot of data on it, one of the biggest journals in sexuality, we had our paper rejected because our stats were too advanced and they didn't have anybody to review it. And they asked us to make them less good. There are not extensive statisticians out there. People don't realize that these reviewers are doing it for free. And most of the people doing these reviews can't do advanced stats. They couldn't pull it out of their ass, right? Like, they don't even understand sort of the difference between parametric versus non-parametric analyses and, like, why we care about what the sample size is, how that impacts generalizability. Like, these fuckers are out there touting this 23-participant study, pretending that they can say something about T-cells and COVID. It's pretty much a case study, guys. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we will publish your article, but please take out all the p-values because we're not good at that.
And even if they do have p-values, where's the fucking effect size, okay? I can't deal with this shit. And let alone, these fucking people all had mild illnesses. And we've seen every paper, theoretical and otherwise, about T-cell exhaustion has talked about how severe the illness is clearly going to fucking impact that.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Just none of these limitations mentioned when they're fucking going at Anthony about it, is it? Right? No, they just go. And now Zaynep's on it with her 400,000 followers, sending fucking people his way to harass him. That's outrageous.
It really is.
Okay. But they have ongoing beef. Like, it's been ongoing. Like,
why do they have beef? Why do fucking scientists have beef and ego involved in getting the science out that could save millions of fucking lives? Shut the fuck up or get out of the field.
One side, Leonardi's side, is saying, yeah, SARS is going to harm your T cells. You guys are going to get sicker and sicker. And then you have the other side where Zaynep is on, where they're the COVID minimizers.
And right? He's not, even though Anthony recognized that, yeah, this paper, I mean, sure, some people are going to have okay T cells after. That doesn't negate the fact that some people won't. Holy shit. Can we not have a non-dichotomy in science? Did we forget?
Apparently, many people did.
Well, and I agree. But this is the fucking bullshit, Cindy, that is encouraging every person out there without a mask to keep doing it.
Exactly.
Watching these fucking assholes pull shit out of their pocket and smear it around everywhere and call it fucking gold. Okay, this is what these assholes are doing. And most of the population, 80% of them right now, can't fucking tell the difference.
Well, they really can't. I mean, a prime
example. They don't have the ability to. These fucking researchers don't have the ability to do stats, so you can't assume that the general population can.
Okay, but also, some people are not able to discern the difference between a good study and a bad study.
Most people, most my fucking colleagues probably can't. Right? Mm-hmm. Once they get out of school, it's not like they're sitting there brushing up on their statistics and thinking about sort of, you know, population generalizability, like ecological validity. But these are the same fuckers calling for RCTs and that we need to have like perfect control studies and have everything matched. And then this is the bullshit they put out. Like, what? Hypocrisy at its finest.
Well, and I hate how they word certain things because they make it seem, you know, that that there's no problem with the T cells. Right. When what they're missing is that with any infection or pathogen, there's going to be an initial really robust T cell response.
Right. The point that's expected.
Yeah. And the point AJ's making is that they get fucking exhausted, like, you know, and they are non-functional. It gets to a point that the infection is affecting them to the degree they can't do their job, you know, but they just skim over that.
Right. And again, skimming over the fact that most of the participants, even in this tiny, 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 tiniest of tiny samples that they had of 23, a huge chunk of them, you know, especially with the earlier ones, the Delta and the BA1, they're under 30 years old. Like, it's not representative. It's not generalizable. I'm not even arguing with the outcomes of that study. I'm saying, yeah, I think it makes sense that there's the activation, right? Cindy, as you just said, that's what we would expect. But yes. They are completely using this information to say something about, like, they can't tell me anything about T cells a year after you've had 5 COVID infections, can they?
No. No, and I'm just looking at their stupid graph again and going,
oh. What? It looks like it was made in Microsoft Paint. Like,
it really does.
By a primary student, yes.
Like fold change is kind of important. We have no values. Shall I just insert what I make believe values?
Right. I'm not going to say it's not useful because it is. And I think that it has interesting outcomes, but it is not at all negating the things that Anthony has said, in my opinion. And honestly, the sample is way too small, way too select. And we don't even have the demographics to be able to say how select it is to be saying anything about the population at large in COVID.
Yeah.
This is a baby study with 23 participants.
And you know how the journal, they called it a commentary.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just opening it to see how it was submitted. It does not say commentary when you click on the actual paper.
No.
It says research highlight.
Yes. Which I don't even know what that means because they didn't even put numbers in their figure.
Research highlight what?
Again, this entire paper, the purpose of it was to make a title about AJ.
Yep.
Like, that's all it was, because they say nothing in that paper that isn't said in the original paper. They don't, and in fact, they do it a disservice because they don't even talk about the limitations of that paper. They just summarize this shit in an even shorter way and don't talk about the problems of the paper, which is just... This is how misinformation proliferates, right? Because they can say, well, we didn't say that, but it's like, but you allowed it to be used for that, and you encouraged it to be used for that, and you didn't speak against that or even label the limitations. So what did you expect to happen?
The community at large really needs to call this out. The comments are really good. Like, you know, a lot of people that seem to have been fairly neutral in the past are speaking out to the unprofessionalism of this
piece. Right. Here's the name of it, because I didn't say it at the beginning. SARS-CoV-2 clearance after breakthrough infection correlates with fit and happy T cells. Last I fucking checked, I don't do psychology for T cells, and they can't be fucking happy.
Right. Exactly.
So, but I want to bring it to the one part where they tried to talk about limitations but failed dramatically. So they're calling it a large set of data because there were lots of observations of the few people that they had. Okay. So that's a problem. That doesn't actually mean that you have a large data set. Right. Using these large sets of data from the early phases of BTI, the relationship between viral load in the nasal cavity, blah, 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 was investigated. Oh, no, they don't even talk about that. So, yeah, they look at samples over a 2-year time period. A, their samples were all over the place for people in terms of when they got them and how far apart they were. Okay, here we go. The study's conclusions are limited by the small sample sizes, but we acknowledge that the authors analyzed a high number of samples during the early phases of infection, a time period difficult to study in humans, and that, as this study shows, it can provide an important evaluation of viral control. And
that's a giant word salad of saying we got shit. We have shit.
That's right. So contradictory.
Right. This study confirms the ability of memory T cells to be established and recalled multiple times upon exposure to SARS-CoV-2. Right? That's their summary.
Look, listen to this sentence. Holy shit. This is direct from Captain Obvious. The rapid viral decline in the upper respiratory tract correlates with the activation of specific CD8 T cells, supporting the initial observations in unvaccinated COVID-19 patients of the importance of rapid deployment of cellular immunity in the control of SARS-CoV-2 infection.
They don't even have unvaccinated people in the study. How are they talking about them?
I know, and translation means your T cells are initially doing what they're supposed to do.
Like, right. Deep breath. The whole point and the reason I wanted to talk about this so extensively tonight, at least for the first half, is just like this is the sort of the fighting of academics that most people are not aware of, right? This is the sort of stuff that happens that many people are not aware of. And let's be clear that in a situation where Anthony has no power, and he is like a student, right? They are sicking large groups of people on him to try and stop him from suggesting the theories that he's suggesting without actually trying to scientifically negate them. And that's not what they're doing with this paper, that they haven't touched on that with any of it. And if you're a real scientist, which these people are not, you're interested in the fundamental truth, not in being right.
And Anthony is a doctor. He's a PhD. And
he's
now,
a real doctor.
And now he just, graduated medical school. So he's a doctor. So they cannot call him a student any further. You know, no. It's hilarious that Veldhoen made a reference for one of his own papers that's titled Endemic SARS-CoV-2 Will Maintain Post-Pandemic Immunity. Immunity, fucking whore.
Well, and Anthony, I like to say he's a real doctor because, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, doctor is not for medical doctors. That's honorary bitches. Doctor is for the highest of academia, which is a PhD. And that is exactly what Anthony had before he became a doctor at medical school. So he's a real doctor and y'all bitches aren't. Okay? That's all I have to say.
Can we talk about how there's literally a concerted effort to silence AJ and his theory about the T cells? Like, why are they so afraid of what he has to say?
Because they are running with their egos. not for the science. And that's, this is what I'm trying to get people to understand. And this is like, even in talking about this, I'm going to talk about fucking statistics, the fucking bell curve, right? If we think about this, we have a bell curve of humanity, and like 80% are going to fall mostly in that middle piece. And on those tiny little tails are going to be people that act in a different way. And like, these people are selfishly motivated. End of story. And 80% of people are going to follow that. The tails of those are like 10% of people that are genuinely like altruistic in some ways, trying to help society, trying to do these things from a fundamental truth way. The bottom 10% are the fucking shit disturbers that lie for fun and manipulate this shit for fun, right? But 80% of the people are going to fall into the middle of like, they're just selfish. These researchers are the same way. They're fucking triggered by Anthony. That's what all this is. They need a therapist. That's what they need. Okay.
You know, and I just popped something in the nest where Bertoletti basically admits what he did. You know, someone's like, ha ha, that title. And they put a little meme there. And then Bertoletti goes, the pleasure was mine, sunglass emoji.
Correct. So, and I know a lot of people screenshotted that and sent it to the journal because,
yeah.
And then Zeynep did the same, pretty much saying like this, that was aimed at it, right? And them sort of laughing. I picture it as like those like, really snotty like mean girls like in their little circle like giggling to each other when they like trip somebody. That's sort of what I'm picturing this like.
Oh, same, right? Same. Like, how dare he have a theory that pans out and makes them look stupid?
Well, and I in terms of like self-disclosure and bias, like a reason why I followed Anthony and like fought and I speak out about this stuff and specifically is like my research people did not like when I was doing my dissertation, my PhD, when I published one of my studies in 2020, I got over 300 death threats because I work in an area that nobody wants to talk about the answers to. And that area is pedophilia. So what? I understand what it's like to work in an area where people come at you for trying to get a fucking answer and doing the right thing. And I will not sit down when I watch that happen to other researchers. Anthony has tried to be as respectful as possible to these people who have been sending shit his way for years now.
Well, that's terrible that you had that much hate. Wow. That's a lot.
I had a total mental breakdown, to be honest. Like, had to like talk to another researcher from multiple provinces away who'd been through a similar thing. But that is what this shit brings. And when I see it happening to someone else, fuck no, I'm not going to sit down. And we all should be pushing for better. Like, this is ridiculous.
Agreed. I could not agree more.
Why would we be silencing someone who has a completely out of the box view when it is correct? And we need everyone.
And even if it's not correct, fucking prove him wrong then with some real science. Fucking prove him wrong with the RCTs you keep talking about. Oh, wait, it's not possible? Oh, I don't know. Maybe figure your shit out and stop being such a hypocrite. Stop trying to bust down theories when you're not even testing them. This is science. That's what you're supposed to fucking do. Deep breath, Crystal. If you can't tell, I've been extra sassy on Twitter because I'm so fucking pissed, guys. Like, that this is the state we are in, that there is so much research coming out showing us how bad COVID is, and we are still fighting pricks like this 3 years in to not misuse information, to just keep misinforming the public.
This is just, hey, COVID is not airborne, all over again. That's
right. And in response to all this, by the way, I read through all the quote tweets on the journal's comments about this, which was a bunch of people referencing again how zero COVID Nazis, zero COVID zealots are back to fight against the man, and we're clearly crazy because we say COVID is airborne. What are we supposed to do with these fuckers?
Well, and you see that in Zeynep's tweets too, you know, and when they're talking to each other, they call us ZCs for zero COVID.
Correct. Because not wanting infections, crazy. I mean, are we going to stop trying to have drunk drivers hit children? Is like a zero policy for that stupid? Like, should we go that way as well for the other thing?
Well, exactly. You know, and they're still all hanging their hats on herd immunity. You know, I got into it with Casper Kep, who wrote the original paper, epidemiology paper in 2020 that said we would have herd immunity. Well, Anastasia, she's in the room, I think made the best comment to him. It was a one-liner. It was so perfect. She said, if you were correct, why are we 4 years into the pandemic?
Right. So, and it's interesting because you see people talk about this now that are clearly have been wrong. And they're like, well, it's going to take a few years. I'm like, oh, and a few million dead people? Like, what the fuck is your plan? Our medical system is collapsing, right? Like, BC, if I sort of bring it back to BC Poly here and what's going on there. I mean, oh, let's just start the fucking rage machine again. Let me go at Dr. Bonnie Henry. She had her fucking talk on kindness and how that was the thing she needed to do to lead BC in the pandemic. I don't know where the fuck Bonnie Henry has been for a while, so I haven't seen her leading shit. All she did was lead the way against precautions the entire time.
And she emphasized, just do as much as needed. Don't make a decision even if it's not right. That was the message.
It's like public health supposed to fucking tell people what to do or something because that's the fucking role. But then the doctors of BC, who at the same day an article was released that Doctors of BC is saying that hospital emergency departments are collapsing. The president of Doctors of BC touts Bonnie up for this talk about kindness, saying how great she is. And we are like, are you fucking drunk? Okay? Like, what are you talking about? This woman has had no accountability for anything she has done, and she has cared for none of the vulnerable populations, including outside of COVID, like our drug toxic deaths keep going up. Like, she's been so absentee and anti-public health. Like, BC has the highest rates of COVID. They have no masks in hospitals. They have outbreak. There's been 4 emergency departments closed for years, 2 months right now. Like, BC's fucking falling apart. And this woman is up there going, but yeah, we got kindness. And I sell my books, I sell my wine, and I'm fucking great.
And then she has the audacity to say Dr. Tara Moriarty's
death. Oh, yes.
Is suspect?
For what? The second time. For the second time. When the excess death data came out in 2021, I think, 2022, she said that she took that with a grain of salt. And then... Let me be clear that I'm pretty sure Moriarty had a family member die in BC shortly after that. And then now again, she goes at Moriarty saying that she doesn't know what the parameters of those data are. This is the same woman who ignored the diabetes rate going up when her own BC researchers were the people that published the paper. Like, what do we do with these people? Don't punch them. I mean, I can't do that for reals, but in my mind, you know.
I love rage, Crystal.
Oh, it's just stacking up, right? Because I have people in my work that have this like nasty cough that sound like they're dying. I have people that have been sick like 4 or 5 times this year already with their kids. And these people still want to pretend like these impacts aren't coming. We have multiple fucking bullshit articles that you would think from the Vertlantic, I don't know how to say the parody name, but about how, well, clearly people suck because they've been working from home. But clearly there's lots of allergies. Yeah. Those are the articles that are coming out right now in complete denial that there's been a pandemic for 3 years. Like, the simplest theory, guys, like that's a basic principle, and we are looking everywhere we can but COVID right now, like everywhere we can. The baby today, that's probably why I'm raging, that's what I woke up to start, the baby with the severe conjunctivitis, that the mom, that baby did not get a cold sore, like that there was nobody there, there's no other things that were happening. I guarantee it's fucking COVID, right? Like, or right, nobody's masking, with newborns. And that doctor told her that babies aren't affected by COVID. Are you fucking kidding me? Since when are babies not impacted by fucking viruses?
Yeah, he said it's good for the baby to get COVID. I was like, oh, hell no. Since when is it good for anyone?
So let me outline the personal impacts just on my family. Because in 2020, I made a tweet that said, these fuckers will kill my whole family and they won't give a shit. So let me describe. My family's very private. They don't like me talking about these things. But I'm so tired of people thinking that we don't know anybody that's been sick. My grandma died December 2020. She was the first person dead in her long-term care. And one-third of her other people died with her. And everyone got sick. Every person in that long-term care. In August 2022, my entire family got COVID because my ex-husband had to fly to go get his kids, and he came back and brought COVID with him, and all of us got it. 3 months after that, my mom had a stroke, and her CT after that showed signs of cerebral small vessel disease, which by systematic review now has been found to be related to COVID. They can't explain it yet, but clearly seems to be taking the white matter. And then my 18-year-old son, similarly in that time frame after COVID, showed signs of organ damage in his liver, and all of his enzymes started going wacky. So please, fuck off.
And that's you being aware of the impacts, right? People aren't making the connections.
The only reason my family was getting care in those circumstances is because I knew what to tell them to go look for, because they had me that had their back. How many people right now are struggling? How many people are suffering and don't have anybody on their side with the knowledge, ability, privilege, power, social capital to push those things for them?
They don't know what is coming down the road for them. I mean, I developed a breast tumor after exposure to COVID, right? And then my partner developed diabetes. We were like early, early cases. I mean, we were on the Diamond Princess and we got off the ship January 6th. And then January 10th is when the guy from Hong Kong was found on the ship and when they started testing. And then if, you know, everyone remembers history, the ship was stuck in Osaka, Japan for like well over a month and everyone was studying it. You know, and that's when they already knew that COVID was airborne. But we caught it early before like diagnostics, before PCR tests, before anything. And it was the gnarliest sickness I've ever had. Like my son has since developed sudden anaphylactic allergies. Right.
My 18-year-old also has very severe like immune rashes that happen now randomly. And yeah. I know another young one that has POTS.
Yeah, my brother had to have his gallbladder removed. Organ damage, it just stopped working. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Like, who knows?
And most of these things are now documented. Correct. This is why I share so many systematic reviews. And a systematic review is a gathering of a whole bunch of those sort of singular studies that are happening to try and make the most accurate sort of answer to what we're talking about, considering the limitations of all of those studies. And time after time after time, everything we have talked about on here, there's research to back it up. We have seen the studies that now are showing that there's the 50% increase in type 1 diabetes among children. Like last year we were talking about a 28% increase and people didn't want to talk about that, and now the research is showing up to 50, right? Like we are ignoring study after study, and the cardiovascular impacts are fucking clear. Right? They are fucking clear at this point. And they are documented on various health websites. But nobody will believe it if you say it to them face to face.
The neurocognitive stuff coming out is even scarier, right? How anosmia, when the loss of smell, is like the first sign of Parkinson's.
Right? Well, and I'm trying to be careful with the, I think there's a potential of like it escalating a lot of the sort of neurological issues that people have. And when I think about olfactory problems, like that sort of loss of smell, I think about, cause I work in the area of psychosis, right? And I work in the area of seeing schizophrenia, and like one of the hardest symptoms near the end cases of schizophrenia are like severe olfactory issues, right? Like, cause it's in the brain. Like, it's in the brain and it becomes severely impacted. And we see in like very severe cases of schizophrenia with non-treated and all those sorts of things that the sort of areas of the brain, the gaps grow, right? So there's a sort of loss of cerebral tissue like you would see in some of the other dementias. So it's a brain-based disorder and olfactory plays into that. But we knew 2 years ago that the olfactory loss, the sense of smell loss with COVID, was being directly linked to issues within the brain in those areas shrinking or being messed up by the process of COVID. So there's that research is all there, right?
And overdose masks in schools, right?
And they, yes.
And,
yes.
And Bonnie Henry passed the study, right? But which was approved, and then she waived her own ethics. And she even admits that 80-90% of the population DC and the children have been exposed and have caught COVID because they are chasing that herd immunity. And now we know that, you know, COVID causes brain damage and gray matter loss. And oh my goodness, like, is everyone doomed to a neurocognitive wasting?
Well, and as we've talked about before, like, they're coming out with these numbers now. I don't remember which. I saw a tweet about it today. It was like, well, we just have to sort of accept 250,000 deaths a year. And I'm like, when do we run out of people if we just keep killing them?
Exactly.
Like, and how much of our elder population have we lost? Because when I started tracking it like 2 years ago, we had already killed 1% of our population in BC over 80. We'd already killed 1% of them.
Wow.
I cannot imagine what it's at now. And the excess death data, it's insane all across the world. All across the world. It's not just here. And this is what I want to say too, is like, I'm yelling about COVID and BC and certain people, but in reality, it's the entire world right now. The entire world is ignoring this, and the entire world has data to suggest that we are paying outcomes for it, but it's like, la, la, la. No eyes, no ears.
People don't understand how interconnected we all are. We are more connected to each other than they realize. Like, they don't understand. This all starts with Bonnie Henry, right? And then she's the head of all the Canadian medical CMOHs all over Canada.
Well, and in NACI as well.
Yeah, and then they, right? And then they start lifting.
And who? She's involved with some of the WHO stuff, is she not? With one of
yes.
them?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they denied COVID airborne for so long, right? So vehemently.
And people still think we're crazy for saying that. This is the thing. Right. People still think we are extremists, and I'm using my quotation buddy marks here, extreme for saying COVID is airborne. And it's like proven fact at this point in like all of the major, you know, places and all of the major health agencies, like WHO itself. It's just like, but we're extremists. We're zealots.
We're zealots, even though the CDC admits that COVID is airborne, finally. Okay, guys.
So upgrade the air. Holy fuck. Right. And now there's the articles that's like, why everybody's got allergies. It's so bad. Everybody's getting allergies so bad. Okay, so clean the fucking air. Like, any of us who've had children with asthma, allergies, anything sort of health-wise, we've seen the research on the air quality. Guess what? Kids cognitively do better when the air is better because they can get more oxygen supply. They can think better. Oh my God. Isn't that crazy?
And probably this is why they are onto AJ. It's because his theory is saying that everyone who's getting repeat exposures is exhausting their T cells. So these kids that you have,
and it doesn't have to be everybody though. And I want to be clear, is like, Anthony's not even saying that everybody is going to have that impact, but it doesn't have to be everybody, right? Are we just say it's 10%? Say let's take the really basic sort of number they've been throwing out about long COVID. Say it's 10% of people. Are y'all fucking prepared for 10% of the world to stop being able to work? Are you fucking kidding me? You think supply chains are bad now? You think staff shortages are bad now? Give it fucking 5 years, bro.
And then the permanent disabilities, the cognitive deficits, the illnesses, the cancers that are coming down the pipe. Okay? It's exponential growth. And that's another thing that people have a difficult time wrapping their brains around.
Absolutely. And like the cancer questions, I don't know why anyone would think that's crazy either. We've like the shit that's coming out about long-term virus impacts right now, whether it's COVID, whether it's Epstein-Barr virus, whether it's HIV, like all these.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. All these sort of out outcomes that we have barely understood viruses and the long-term outcomes. Our science is a baby. We're just baby scientists. It hasn't been around that long. Public health hasn't been around that long. And we have demolished our healthcare system. So even if we increase these things by like 3%, 5%, our healthcare system can't handle the current load. So how are we going to increase the load and survive that societally? They are not thinking this through.
No, they're not, because Bonnie Henry is known for denying treatment for people with Lyme disease.
Well,
right?
let's throw this dumbass study into it and pretend like it's a long-term pattern, right? Okay, so maybe all the people that are like under 40 do good. So when our 40 plus population is really cracking it with long COVID and all these issues, who's going to take care of them? Because we already have a very growing elderly population that we don't have the resources for. So when they are really demolished, and instead of now having brain issues and needing care at 70 or 80, they need it at 50 and 60, how are we going to deal with that societally, economically?
We're talking about the baby boomer generation and their kids that are going to hit 50 in about 7 or 8 years.
Right. Are these authors going to be caretaken for their parents? Because they seem a little selfish to be willing to do that.
And that's a huge number of people. The boomer population is massive.
And they are out there not protecting themselves. We are almost at the timeline of vaccines where almost everybody's out of a 6-month window now, right?
And you know, back to SARS, SARS 1, the first SARS there, 8 years after the survivors, 8 years after, there was an 80% increased risk of cancer. And we're moving so much faster with SARS-CoV-2.
Do you have just the level of reinfection we have allowed should be mind-blowing to people. We have never approached something like this, ever. And given that we have never approached anything like this, and we've seen the impacts that we have with the other viruses, we should be fucking shaking in our boots.
Agreed.
The public health and how they manage COVID is directly connected to how they're managing climate change and the climate emergency we are in.
Oh, yes.
Action. They want apathy. They want us to be habituated and used to sacrificing the weak and the sick because they have some stupid herd immunity, sort of only the strong shall survive this capitalist utopia we are planning for all of you. Like, work till you die. You guys can work till, you know, we raise the retirement age, and then you won't even get to cash in your pension plans, and you just keep working.
Perfect example in California and Florida that I read, that they won't allow home insurance now in areas because of the climate change issues that are happening and the flooding and the fires. They're simply one of the largest home insurance agencies within the United States will just simply not provide it anymore.
Can we talk about people who can't?
Should we maybe talk about why we are just going to let people buy houses and then I'm like burn down, and that's like not our problem now. We can't even insure them. So we know that things are getting bad, how bad they're going to get, and we are just closing our eyes. That is that approach. And that is exactly what we will do with COVID. And that is what we've done with COVID. There's no masks in hospitals in BC.
They're working on that in Alberta. They're saying, the rumor says after the election, they're going
And Cindy, I'm in a community health place right now, and I've been in the hospitals. People aren't wearing masks anyway, unless they're with a client, and half the time, that's touch and go. So I tell everybody now in Alberta anyway, like, assume it's high risk wherever you go. People are not wearing masks all the time, even if they are when they're seeing clients. So because nobody has bought into this airborne.
It's going to be a zombie world. That's literally why I've been alluding to all of this as an apocalypse, a zombie apocalypse. You know, it's just going to be the blind leading the blind, literally.
And it's every post-apocalyptic movie we've ever seen. Humanity is failing, exactly. as we said they would. Like, this, none of us want to be fucking right. That's the worst part too. We're like the opposite of these people that are striving to get as much attention and ego as they possibly get. I want to be so wrong, Cindy. But the pure impacts just on my own family tell me I certainly am fucking not.
We are led by the dumbest. We are, like, I hate to say this, and I know it's ableist language, but I'm going to say it. We have the biggest stupid motherfuckers in charge right now, and they're, like, leading us all over the edge of the cliff. Like, I'm sorry.
Lemmings, one at a time, Mel, as we've said before. Ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding. That's the 80%. Ding, ding. Just jumping off one at a time. I don't need a life jacket. I'll just jump down because they told me to jump down.
Like, what? You guys think you're going to get more resources for your 1%, your elite 1%, because you've...
The rich are dying too at this point.
Well, yeah.
We're seeing them drop left and right because they bought into it too, right? Like, people who are looking at these, like, celebrities, like, 60 years old dying, 55 years old dying, and they're, like, thinking it's normal. Y'all, our life expectancy was much better than this before. Our life expectancy is dropping everywhere. Like, this is not good. You shouldn't expect to die at 60. Why are you accepting that? Why are we accepting that? Right? Like, a person my mom's age of 60 should not be seeing signs of what she is on her CT and having strokes. Like, that is not what should be happening. But we are seeing that increase. We already talked about that with the article before. 50%, you know, worldwide stroke increase. Like, this is, it's, everything that's in denial, right? And it's the psychology at work of people genuinely just thinking it's not going to be me.
Okay. So let's zoom out for a second and let's try to apply some social psychology to this. So if everyone is still in the denial stage of trying to deal with this crisis that we are in year four, how would you, okay, so if society was a client, Crystal, how would you help your client move forward in dealing with their crisis that they must deal with instead of living in denial?
So it won't be applicable because, like, working at the individual level to sort of break down those beliefs is very different than when we have an entire world surrounding it. And I mean this in terms of, like, I was fascinated by history for a long time and I just studied it. I took lots of history courses. I just don't think we've ever seen something like this in terms of, I think social media plays an extensive role because, you know, in the past, you know, or 1918 pandemic, clearly there wasn't social media that was rocking around and sort of influencing these theories. So work at the individual level, facts at the individual level could be very influential because if you have, like, a very sort of research-oriented person that you trusted with this information and they told you to believe it, you probably would. And maybe people that I know would have believed me if there wasn't social media because they now are getting 100 sort of facts otherwise at all times, right? They've got sort of not 80% of the population constantly telling them, supporting them in this view that they don't need to be worried about it. They don't need to believe it's going to happen to them. We've never had to fight that before psychologically. And social media may be the death of us all.
Especially if it feeds, you know, ego and clout, and then it gets you scholarships and fellowships. And right. So these people have a lot on the line, basically, to discredit opposing views.
Correct. Because particularly in North America, we are hyper individualistic and we have also entered this phase of, like, and this is in various arenas, but I'll apply to this. It's like how I feel matters more than if I kill you. This is sort of where we're at. It's like, I don't want to wear a mask so I can kill you. Right? Like, you have people that are angry at people for wearing masks. We're going to start seeing mask bans, right? That's where we're at, is that people are starting to push those saying we shouldn't be allowed to mask anymore. We're in a dangerous place, right? Because people will push what they want to believe. They want to push the actions to match that. They don't want to change their thoughts about it. People are highly resistant to changing their beliefs about things. So instead of them looking around at what we're showing them, they're going to change the behavior. They want to take away the masks so there's no reminders. That's what they want gone now, is because we're a reminder that maybe what we're saying is real, right? We're a reminder that some people are holding out, and uh-oh, what if they're right? What if they're right? And people do not want that reminder right now.
The holdouts may have to find each other and find like a bunker or a compound to stay safe.
But Mel, we are living in capitalism. People cannot afford that. People can't leave their areas. And that is what they are dependent on, is we will die in this system because we can't actually get out of it. That is the plan. And that is what is happening. People are dying. They're going to work and they're dying. They are going to the hospital to get needed care, and they are dying from the COVID that they are picking up there.
Kids right? are going to school and catching
right.
BSL-3 viruses that is shortening their lives, that they're going to die from and suffer.
And kids with long COVID, right? We're seeing kids 10 years old, right? That are unable to get out of bed. How have we chosen that? How have we chosen that? 19-year-old with dementia, right? She had pre-existing. Brain injury, but that's not the point, right? Like, are we going to say that those with pre-existing brain injuries, oh well, COVID makes their brain injury escalate, but we don't care about that. They can have dementia at 19, right? Like, what are we saying? Where have our values gone, our ethics, right? And most people didn't have them to start with, and unfortunately the pandemic has highlighted that.
It's terrifying,
right? And yeah,
The
air quality in Edmonton was 10 plus for the long weekend, Mel. And I was the only person I saw wearing a mask outside. We have literally degraded the idea of masks to the point where people are breathing in just outrageous wildfire smoke because they don't want to be seen with a mask on.
Can you imagine if this was reversed and it was like dirty water that we're fighting and people, oh, I'm just going to drink this shit water.
Oh man, I've seen some questionable posts about that. And I'm like, you want to fucking die of diarrhea? Go ahead. I'm not joining you with your raw party, your raw water party. Okay.
Did you see that group? The raw
water? I did. I sure did. And I wasn't even surprised, but that's the thing. Think about the impairment to vaccination in children across the world right now, because people now have these thoughts about vaccines. Think about how much impairment has happened to children's vaccinations. We're going to get so behind because people are hating vaccines right now. And we have Steve Kirsch out there saying that they cause autism again. Oh,
that's infuriating. That really pissed me off because he has the money to back it. And he's challenging people to debate him for like $25,000.
Oh,
and
Cindy, I listened to one of his debates and he couldn't even explain what a p-value is. So
no, I heard that one too. But you know, with his money, when he posts that shit that says, look, they wouldn't debate me, when meanwhile they've already blocked him, it looks like he won, right? And he's going to gain traction.
Yeah, because we're an entitled fucking population and time period, right? The people that need to care about this and care about it for their children have been so far away from infectious diseases and the way that it significantly harmed them. Like, they didn't grow up seeing anyone in an iron lung, right? Like, the 25-year-olds I work with didn't even know what that was. They've been so removed from the actual outcomes associated with these things that they can't fathom how bad it could be. And to think that another person, after Andrew Wakefield and his disaster in The Lancet, is out there now propagating sort of autism and vaccines again, it's fucking heartbreaking. We've lost like all of the progress that we have made in public health and a lot of sort of community psychology because of these people. And it's really devastating. We've taken back decades of the data and the research that we have done to try and help minimize these impacts on people. And they have just destroyed it in the last 3 years.
That's so true. And, you know, people will say, well, Steve Kirsch isn't a scientist. It doesn't matter, because he is paying for the pseudoscience the same way the tobacco industry did, the same way as the chemical companies did with MECFS. You know, this is the same kind of bullshit that is going to minimize this and help rewrite the history of this virus and put it into the psychosomatic category for long COVID. We really have to rise up and fight against that.
100%. And they already tried that with long COVID, including Dr. Bonnie Henry, who was stating sort of the site that it was psychological at the very beginning. I remember actually the conference because I was so furious, stating that no, it's not long COVID. It's that people were like traumatized by their ICU visits and being ventilated. So it's not actually like symptoms. They're just having psychosomatic symptoms. And that's what she started with by talking about long COVID and then wouldn't address it for like 18 months.
Can I point out that already in like June, July of 2021, we already had information that they knew that it was airborne. And then, right? And then our friends in the East Coast in Protector Province, New Brunswick, I think, right? They had already did an FOI request, right? And they had found that they knew that COVID caused long COVID, right? They knew about
from the end of 2020.
Yeah, they knew about long COVID. They knew that it was airborne, yet they still removed masks in LTCs, in hospitals, in schools, and they took the layers away little bit by little bit while feeding us messages that we don't need masking. We don't need to protect ourselves. That is not our way. This is not our culture. And they conditioned us to slowly leave ourselves vulnerable to be infected with a BSL-3 level virus that actually requires a hazmat suit and like your own oxygen tank system to handle, right? Because we shouldn't be breathing this shit in. We should not be breathing this shit in.
They wanted us back to work, Mel. And now that people have been too sick and dying to do that, they're relying on saying that working from home is making people cognitively impaired. That's the latest one I saw.
No, they for better vaccines when they had them good enough just to get us back to work, right?
Correct.
That is it. They stopped at that, right? And now they took away the long COVID clinics. No one has any medical history or data.
Can't get tested.
Can't get any medical evidence whatsoever. You know, you have anything come down the road, they're like, oh, must be you. Must be pre-existing conditions. I'm sorry, pre-existing condition is like a bullshit term made up by American medical insurers for a medical U.S. system. This is a Canadian system, all right? Whatever pre-existing conditions or comorbidities that you have should not affect whether you have a long and healthy life in Canada. This is Canada.
Absolutely.
They are trying to turn us into America with their GOP policies, and it's the GOP, the IDU, right? And it's the and Karen Ballas in the UK tracked it all back down to the Koch industries, those fucking cocksuckers, right? They had a think tank, and
these fucking are banana dicks, okay? Yeah, that's all.
Maskers, right? They funded.
I'm okay. Sorry, having a moment there.
All right, I'm done ranting. I could go on and like draw the connection back. Like, we all know it. The people in this room know what I'm talking about.
No, oh, it's true.
And that went to Brownstone, and that's where you get idiots like Zinep and Kroll and everybody else spewing the minimizer bullshit, you know, and continuing that narrative to try to convince people to vax and relax without a sterilizing vaccine. Like, please get fucked.
The same fuckers fucked that told us herd immunity was coming in 2021 and 2022. And 2023 and next year. I choose not to follow people who are so dramatically wrong that often, but you do you, I guess. You do you.
We're at the finding out stage. We're at the beginning of the finding out stage. I mean, did you all saw what that guy did over South Korea? He literally opened the freaking emergency door mid-flight.
Oh god. Yep. He wanted to get off. The flight was taking too long. The flight was taking too long. Why not open the plane door? I mean, okay. Sure.
And impulse control and self-regulation is like connected to the brain. So when you have brain damage from repeat COVID infections, you could be in the middle of a commercial flight, 30,000 feet in the air. And you're like, fuck, I want to get off the plane. This emergency exit looks good. I'm just going to pull it and open it and see what happens. Okay, people have no self-control at this point if you get repeatedly infected. Like, this cannot
end well. the data from BC itself, right? That the driving accidents increased, like, what was it, like 30%? I can't remember off the top of my head, so I might be wrong, but it was like 30% or something they'd increased in like the past 12 months. That's, I mean, we can't ignore these things, right? And you can't keep chalking it up to like people stayed home for a few weeks in lockdown in 2020. And clearly the lockdown is what's impacting them. BC didn't even have a fucking lockdown, y'all. We didn't shut our schools. We reopened them within like 8 weeks. But these bitches still talking about a lockdown.
People were fucking eating in the food court because the malls were open while Bonnie Henry told people not to have Christmas dinner together. Do you remember that?
Oh, I sure do. And like how the winery had different rules versus everywhere else in the restaurants.
And, you know, the lockdowns didn't equate to anything more than a fucking summer vacation. So what?
We didn't have lockdowns. About? Nobody was getting checked by the police with their, like, right? ticket to go to work. Like, we didn't have lockdowns here. Somebody formerly in my life, the entire time, even when there were those rules, didn't follow them and had family gatherings the entire fucking time. And even when I tried to sort of like get bylaw involved or something, because I had direct family members that were at risk there, they were like, meh, not something that we're going to deal with. So I'm not sure what sort of lockdowns we would get talking about and how those could have impaired anybody, because no one was fucking doing them when I was looking.
Okay, no. Masks don't work. Vaccines cause autism. We were all in a lockdown. Those are all right-wing talking points from the Brownstone Institute.
But
can
masks,
we point that out?
But they say masks do work too because kids didn't get sick for a long time because the masks did work. So that caused their immune system problems. But masks also don't work. So we shouldn't wear them because they're child torture.
Yeah, like, well, fucking what is it, guys? Like, figure it out. Like, do they work or do they not work? Like, figure it out.
Aw, Pete was waving us by. Oh my gosh, it must be like 3 a.m. where he is.
He's just listening to this.
You know, I think a lot of people internationally, especially in the UK, have this perception that we Canadians are so polite and mild-mannered. Meanwhile, they pop on a rage space and we're going
Hey, I fucking warn people, okay? I tell them what to expect. And it's a lot of fucks, okay? Like, this is the place where I can get this out.
We're so polite until you piss us off. Then you don't want to piss off a Canadian.
For me, it's when you when you threaten a loved one or like a value that I care about. And this is why I said, like, with the Anthony shit, I've stepped in. I have been that person that has been attacked in that way, and watching someone that I've seen try so hard to like just get information out there, it fucking lights me up. I will fucking come at them.
Right? Like, I don't know how they didn't figure we were a little bit vicious. Like, look at what we have to deal with bear, moose, everything in this country, the weather. Come on.
We hardcore.
We are the North.
The winter is coming and it's fucking crystal, okay?
Try to come for our water. Come on.
North remembers.
I am going to say we should probably wrap it up, though, because I'm starting to lose my voice. We're still a bit smoky here and I've been feeling it with my yelling. I'm glad we got to talk tonight and sort of got the rage out, but I'm still like, man, if you see this shit happening, like, reach out, say something, try to sort of continue to platform information that makes sense, information that has actual data to back it up, information that is not out there to directly harm people, because we have the ability to take small actions, whether it's on here, whether it's in real life. And I will never fail to think that that matters. I will never fail to think that if we can save one life, it won't matter, right? Like, that person has ripple effects to everyone's life. Every parent that has lost this pandemic, that is generational trauma that we have caused to those children and their children's children. And as someone whose parent died at 12 years old, I know that. I know the impact that it has. I know the impact it has on my kids. It is incomprehensible, the damage that we have caused among people. And if we can prevent even one of that, I will full-heartedly continue to do that until we actually see the end of this pandemic.
Bravo. You're here.
I think that's it.
That was okay. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you all for attending. We had a busier night tonight. We're going to be back next week. We're trying to get back to it every week, mostly so that we just have a space to actually address these things and as they're coming up and the minimizers push harder and harder, but let's keep taking it apart, right? That's what we can do. That's the power that we have. So we'll do it.
Use our voices.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Oh, thank you.